for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Friday morning, August the 30th, 2002. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Huntington, Tennessee is the teacher of the morning.
1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest is what?
Love.
And I come to you in love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And such as I am, I come in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only good thing about me. It's the only good thing about you. All right? There's nothing else. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We need hope. God will provide you with hope. He provided you with faith. Whatever you do with it is in your hands. And it will determine the greatness of your eternal rewards. But He gave you the hope, and if you cast it down, hallelujah, God is still great. If this nation falls, God is still great. There is nothing can stop the power of God except you can stop it from working in your life today. And you make up your mind what you want to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every devil from hell to get out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call out the angels of the Lord God Almighty in the name of Jesus Christ to stand over each and every person here in the name of Jesus, that every devil that leaves cannot jump in anybody else, to bind them up and throw them into the abyss in the name of Jesus Christ. We aren't here just to have fun, but we'll have fun. Amen. We're not here just to pat each other on the back, but we will do it. Amen. We're not here just to have good food. Yes. We're here to change. Yes.
Amen.
Okay? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. We're all awake, right?
Yes. Well,
you know what? We didn't just have a session of praise and worship. That was only practice. Why do we make such a big deal about what's only practice? What we do here is nothing compared to what we're supposed to do when we leave here. I'm talking to me too. That's why I have to yell loud, all right? But worship and praise is what we do. And we always do. It's just a question, who are we worshiping? And who are we praising? There is no in-between. There's no such a thing as being half-dead. That's a lie, too. Or half-pregnant. Either are or you aren't.
Amen.
We're either a praise and a worship to our Father, or we're not. And Father, please stand up. Please stand up. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we repent for our flesh. For us letting our flesh have any authority. In the name of Jesus. Father, give us a renewal of what you put in us when we said, yes, Lord Jesus. When we let you come in, Lord Jesus. Refresh, renew. I command that all weariness leave right now. A spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. That we can stand up and stand strong before you, Father. That we can leave this place different than when we come in. Father, we want to go ever forward and ever upward. And not to forget what you have worked in our lives. And we praise you, Father. And we do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we can go home. Okay. You sit down. God bless you. You know, this windmill, I forgot my water, but can I bring me my water, honey? Most windmills are supposed to pump water, but this one needs to be primed sometimes. Every time you have meetings here, I wish I could be here. I thank God for this place. And this place isn't magic, because we don't believe in magic. But this is a place of purpose. It was started that way, It's they've held on to that purpose. When that rope became down to one single thread, they've hung on. Praise God, and I thank God for their determination. And I thank God that that one little thread that they hung on to was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that baby won't break. We might break, but it won't break. You know, Jesus said, well, he did because he gave him the revelation and gave it to Paul. So that Paul said in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You know, it amazes me. I taught this in Boise, Idaho, or shared this. I've shared it probably in every state but except Hawaii. But the bottom line is that, you know, these people, they get their heads puffed up with knowledge. You ever meet some of them? You ever been one?
Yes.
Huh? Me too. But, you know, this is interesting. The first organ of the body to deteriorate in death is the brain. That's why they don't do brain transplants. I wish Dr. Noel was here. He probably could verify that. But, you know, but yet we spend our life puffing up our brain with knowledge. I know people that know the Bible so well, they think. But see, it's the fruit that follows. It's the signs, miracles, and wonders that follow shows how much Bible's alive in our life. If you're really moving with the Lord, you don't have time to turn around and look at Him. You don't put your name on Him and go, la, 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 look at me. You know, we are called to move forward. And if we will decide to do it, in this room is more power than there's ever been in any army on the face of this earth. I challenge you, what are you going to do with that? It's up to you for what you do with what you got between your ears. Because you make decisions and they get in our heart. We get blessed when we obey. And we get cursed by disobedience. And that too, there's no in between. There is no in between. You know, we've had too many years of comfort zone Christianity. Seems like the only way you can fill a church anymore is make them feel good. Well, I've gotten to where in my travels I try to stay away from them big churches. I don't get around to answering those invites. Don't get too many anymore. Because you know what? You can have a dozen people or whatever there is here, or, you know, 100, and see more signs, miracles, and wonders than you'll see in the stadium. Because there's people here. Is there anybody here that doesn't have something they're seeking today? Those that don't have anything you're seeking, would you please raise your hand? Okay, now we're going to test our deodorant. Those of you that got something that you're seeking, raise your hand. And raise it to the kingdom of God. Because this is a day that you will receive if you will let the Lord Jesus Christ have His way. He will not take His way. You know, somebody come to me and they said, you know, I'm accused of being a healer. Jesus is a healer. But I had somebody come to me and he says, well, Brother Carl, the way I get healed, God uses doctors. I get so sick of hearing that I want to puke. That's, you know, we understand that word, right? And so I just went out and got alone. I said, God, what are you talking about here? Well, he said, first of all, Carl, I don't use. The devil uses. He says, my church has let the word use, that God uses me. And he says that it's from the devil. I don't use. I give you the ability, and I work in your heart for you to obey. All right? Bang! I just shot a few sacred cows. Man, let's get rid of these religious statements. You know, the truth is the truth. You can take 1 million words of truth and put one lie in, and you contaminated the whole thing.
Yes.
I'm not mad, okay? Sometimes I just get excited. But getting back to that thing, he says, I don't use doctors. He says, I permit doctors. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He says, I permit doctors because of your unbelief. Now, if that hurts your feelings, hallelujah. All right? If it blesses you, hallelujah. You know how they say hallelujah in Romania? Hallelujah! They don't mess around in it. And then when they say it in Romania, it's slava dumdului. But I want you to know that we have got to quit finding the easy way to get done what God has already provided for.
Amen.
You know, and don't get puffed up about what you do. And I'm talking to Carl, too. He could use that tambourine to do anything that any of us have ever done in our life if he chose. He's God. It's high time we get thankful that he permits clowns like us to do something. I know the definition of my ministry. I'm not going to say what you think, honey. But you know what? I'm the foolish of the world, sense confound the wise. All right? I don't come here as any hot stuff. You know, when I had an insurance agency covered 4 states, it was my God. I was an evil man. But, you know, I was into the intellect. My clientele was doctors, lawyers, and bankers, if that tells you anything. Never got much truth from any of them. Never got a straight answer either. And this is back in my whiskey drinking days. And one day I says to myself, self, I get too proud to talk to the Lord. I says, you know, I live right in the midst of the richest farmers in the world, Blue Earth County, Minnesota. It's called Blue Earth because the earth is so blue and rich. Every year, for years, the highest yield per acre of soybeans and corn comes out of there. And I said, you know, I'm going to go out to these farmers. I grew up on the farm. I'm going to get back to them. And you know, my business really succeeded. When I come to the Lord, I had to shut it down because it was my God. And even the people in the denomination that led me back into the Lord's will wanted me to stay there because they're thinking about this boy makes money, and I did. They're thinking about all the money they could get. Money don't run ministries. The Lord Jesus does if it's His, and He'll provide. But the thing about it is that I had to just let go of that because that was the Lord of my life. But He had prepared me because I'd gotten rid of, I'd learned all these 25-cent words, then 50-cent words, 75-cent words, even a few dollar words. That was back in early 70s, okay? Inflation's gone a long way since then. But I realized today that what God had done is He'd taken away from all that intellect to get me back, my feet on the ground, to where the people walk, and they need to be ministered to. So if I don't tickle your intellect, hallelujah. You got to love me anyway. It's a commandment of the Lord. I just want to talk straight to you because I love you. And I do love you. Not because I'm very great at it. I love you because God's put a fire in this little boy that won't stop. And I praise God for that. It's led me into a lot of places. You know, if you ever think, or if you are, get rid of it, that you are cool and that you're really doing something, then you have this great ability. You know, the entertainers are sold out to the world. I had a lady, this lady we ordained, she's really a great evangelist. And she ran with, well, for 20 years, she was with Ray Charles. We've all heard of him, right? She's the one that got him off cocaine. All these black singers, Barbara Ray knows them. They all started out singing gospel and walked away from it. So she got this idea that my call was, when she got set free, was I supposed to go to all these people? And yeah, I could have went to them. Barbara said, he's okay. But it wasn't my call. All my life, I wanted to go to Australia. They called me from Australia. He says, please, brother, come down here and preach. We'll cover all your expenses. Just come. I said, hallelujah. Finally, I get to go to Australia. When I was a little kid, I wanted to go there. God said, I didn't tell you to go there. And so on and so forth. You know, the only state I haven't ministered in is Hawaii. I'd love to go to Hawaii. He ain't sent me there. Put it in the prayer, you know. But I don't know why I'd get there and be disappointed. But, you know, it's obedience. If you will obey. I told God, after I'd been in Western Ukraine, where the communists were taught to be spies for America, whose God you came? They still aren't doing much there. Everybody goes to Kiev and the big cities and use the same stadium the Mormons used last week. Same people come to stadiums. They call this Christianity. And on the television, big screen, the people coming to the Lord. Same people last week became Buddhist or something. Who knows? But when we went over there, they didn't even know the name of Jesus as a swear word. It was really an interesting time. But by the time I got out of there, that's where I learned about curses. But I remember flying home in the airplane. I haven't been able to fly without one yet, but one day I'm going to. But I remember saying to the Lord, and we got an understanding, I said, I'm not going to go back and do this anymore. I said, I really got my gut full of it. I understand, and I'll sure help other people do it. Well, You know, I didn't realize that that was my flesh talking. I really thought, you know, I'd taken care of that. I didn't have to mess with that stuff. He sent me overseas so many times since, I can't keep track. And he hasn't sent me to a lot of countries. But we've reached into so many countries with the gospel because the gypsy people, and in my book I covered, you know, really what happened. But I know that the gypsies are from the daughters of Judas Iscariot. You say you can't prove that, Carl. I say, I don't give a rip. If you want to get it proved, you go do it. You can disprove me if you want. The Bible says you judge by the works, right? From that revelation that God gave me, and in one village is where it started. And I went back 3 months later to Bucharest, Romania, and all the leadership of the denominations came, and they don't come anymore. They don't really like me, but they come and they said, Brother Carl, you got to do something about these people. They've started 60 churches. Well, they did slow them down. They convinced them they had to build buildings. You show me, I will give anybody in this room $100 that can show me in the Bible where it says that the church is a building. Okay? Anybody want to take it? But see, that's one of the sacred cows that we've let into Christianity. Thank God for buildings, okay? But that's not what you got to have to be successful. Yeah. It's the people. The ecclesia is us. We be it.
Right.
Look around. Look around. This is the ecclesia. This is the called out. But they've been slowed down, but they still have started so many churches we have no idea. All I do when I go over there is just re-equip them, teach them. They fight. I mean, gypsies fight. And the first few days I get there, I'm tired to the bone. And I'm an early riser, except this morning it was close to 6 when I woke up, and that's late for me. But, you know, I get up and I would just not, didn't want to come downstairs because there's a front room where I stay. And they would be there, all these fighting factions. And this would go on for days, they're coming. So finally one day I complained to the Lord. You ever complain to the Lord?
Yeah.
It's okay. Do it. But listen to what he tells you. Okay? But I complained. I said, I'm fed up with this. These people want to bite and devour one another. And I got to, don't they realize I'm tired and I have something to do here? And the Lord just very quietly said, you're doing it, Carl. Didn't you ever notice that when you get these guys together, you anoint them with oil, you pray, and you counsel them, they go out arm in arm? I go, oh, yeah. But see, in the midst of doing right, we get weary. You ever have that happen to you? I think the Bible says somewhere says not to get weary in well-doing, right? We have got a call on our lives. Anybody that doesn't have a call in their life, you're excused. You can go out and go fishing. Okay? Our call is to rise up and become like Christ. Did you hear me? That's not sacrilege. At 12 years old, I got kicked out of the Baptist church. I shouldn't have said that. A church I went to. But because I believed what said in John, that Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you should do also, and greater shall you do because I go unto the Father. And I believed that. And I believed some other stuff, so I kept asking them questions. Well, they deemed me to be a troublemaker. They're right, I am. But they kicked me out, and I blame God for that. And in rebellion, I did terrible things. But even in those years of rebellion, God was training me to work with the very rebellious people. If you were Judas's daughter, after he had betrayed the Lord Jesus and everything, would you stick around or would you get out of Dodge? You'd get out of Dodge, wouldn't you? And they did. The 109th Psalm, you read for yourself, you buy the book. That's how I'm buying my Learjet. It's buy a lot of my books. It's a good Christmas present. You know, you say, I wish, how can I get my family to see these things? Good Lord, we did it in the novel. I got a tape set that's 3 hours, there's 200 scriptures covered that covers this subject. And you got to be pretty serious to listen to it because the scriptures are coming at you like this. But, you know, that is done in a novel enough form that people have given that to family members. And the family has said, wow, we got this going on. And wanted prayer. But anyway, in that situation, God had showed me the 109th Psalm. I guess we should go there, huh? It's amazing. I had all planned what I was going to do. 109th Psalm, it's right after 108th. Page 556, if you got this brand of Bible. We'll start in verse 5. I want to just read this. There was a night when we read this, and a whole village of maybe 500 people accepted Jesus. And I had an expert on this subject tell me, "Brother, you can't take curses off somebody unless they're Christian." Well, I guess God never heard his plan, the man's plan, because we took the curses off of him before we ever offered him salvation. But in verse 5 it says, "And they were rewarded, they rewarded me evil for good and hated me for, and hated for my love." Now we know, obviously, this is Judas that's going to be talked about in the Lord. See, Jesus knew all this about Judas Iscariot all those years that they traveled together. Jesus knew he was a bum. You know what? He still knows we're bums. And he wants to get that out of us. You know, he tried to the end. And you know, if Jesus had came, or if Judas had repented for what he'd done to Jesus, everything could have been accomplished, and he'd have a good eternity. Isn't that amazing? See, because God's love is so big. But he says, "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand." Your right hand is strength. This is the hand of blessing. Okay? "When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." Boy, it reminds me of the old Western movies. "We're going to have a trial and hang you." You know? Can you imagine having your prayer become sin? A lot of prayer is. You know what soul prayer is? It's sin. "Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg, and let them seek their bread also out of desolate places." Man, this is where the gypsies, they aren't in Hollywood. The gypsy beggars are where the poorest parts of the world. The things that they do, you know, women, girls are worthless. Okay? No offense, girls, you know, but in that culture, and it's amazing to see the difference when a Christian gypsy family starts having children. Or when that family becomes. But what they do with little girls is they do things like they break their limbs and twist them and tie them up so they heal crooked. I seen a little girl one time with her tongue cut out. They set them down. They're covered with filth. They stink. And they set them by the metros. You know, that's where you're coming in out of the subway system. And the busy places, and they set them there. And they beg. And this little girl's sitting there going, and no, you know, she couldn't make a sound, just made bleh. She didn't have a tongue. "Give me money." And I'm going to read the rest of this, and then it all fits together. But it says, "Let the extortioner catch all that he has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation follow, let their name be blotted out." But see, the women don't carry the name. They marry and change names, right? Unless you're real, you know. But anyway, "But let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let there be none, and let there not, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth." Nobody knows where the gypsies come from, including the gypsies. It's right there. I shared it that night. The Lord told me to do it. And I said, "Yeah, right. There's 15 Christians and about 500 people surrounding us. We're the only show in town." And they had lights on us, so everybody's seeing us. And, well, okay, you know, obey. So I pointed out to Emily, my interpreter, I says, "Read this." She starts to read it, and her voice is shaking. I'm speaking in tongues for her. I got my hand laid on her, and she read it. I says, "Don't cut corners. Read it." So she read it in the Romanian language. And I says, "Those of you that want that curse broken off from you, raise your right arm, and don't you dare put it down till I'm done praying." And she interpreted it. The arms all went up. I started praying, and I just, Holy Ghost prayer, whatever the Lord gave me at that time to pray. But I broke the curses, and I spoke blessings in their life. And just to make sure they're paying attention, I would go like this. So did they. I'd go like this. You know, I'm doing things like this, you know. Well, however I held my hand up, they did the same. You know why? If the doctor says you got 10 minutes to live, are you going to listen to the guy that says I got healing? Huh? You're going to have your attention, right? All right? Well, these are desperate people. And they were pulling the words right out of my mouth. If I'd have went like this, they'd have kept coming out, you know. And when I got done, I spoke the blessings, and then I said, those of you that want to accept, and I did the quickest salvation message I've probably ever done. And I said, those of you that want to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as your brother, your helper, your strength, I want you to raise both arms and don't put them down until I get done praying. I put my arms up, they put their arms up. I go like this, they go like that. I mean, they weren't missing a thing. And the gypsy people all speak a language, I forget what it's called.
Rom.
If they're in America, they speak Rom. If they're in Russia, China, India, Antarctica are the only two countries, continents they're not on. They're scattered people. But they all speak their native tongue. They're not stupid like some people think, because they learn to speak yours too. You know, they're at least bilingual. Most are multilingual. I haven't even got English taken care of, as you've already figured out. But God had given me a vision of these people, and everything I tried to get to them, bang, the door shut. I had a bee come from the back of this auditorium about that far and turn, and I seen that bee turn, and it came back at me so quick I couldn't duck. And then nailed me right in the eye. You know, trying to keep me out of a gypsy church. You know what? I went there, and they said, if you give us money, we'll let you speak. I said, goodbye. I knew I wasn't supposed to be there, but I just, you know, you get this vision, you know, and then you got to let the Lord time it and put it together, see? But anyway, when the night was right, here I was. I'm in this village. I'm not going to say the name because I did before, and it ended up on a famous television station, and these people claimed that they'd won this village and got hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I thought, well, that's good. These people are going to get a lot of help. I went back. They didn't get any. So I don't use names anymore except first names. But I had a brother with me from Massachusetts, and I had several people with me. But anyway, when they come to get me, take me to this gypsy village, I took, you know, and I put my shoes on, and it was dark, and it felt right, that one felt right, and I went. Well, he had a brown and a black one on. And so, I mean, see, it isn't how cool you are and how you got it together that makes the difference, and it's not your knowledge either. It's your heart, baby. Do you hear me? It's your heart. It's your heart. Adam and Eve in the garden fed on knowledge. I wonder how long they fed on the knowledge of good before they got a little further onto that fruit and bit into evil. They were equipped for good, the corruption, before they could get that evil. Isn't that amazing? And it says it. You can check your version of the Bible, too. It'll say good of evil, good and evil. But see, the knowledge is not power. Spirit of God is power. The knowledge of the Word is very important. You know, Jesus, with the great miracles that He done, that nobody wants to do hardly on this earth, is make Himself of no reputation. See, I mean, we put our pictures on everything we do, and oh, good Lord. I had someone get mad at me because I didn't put it in the book. I said, good Lord, my picture's in there, I probably wouldn't buy it, you know. But, see, the thing about it is that it's not our fame. It's our job to spread Jesus' fame. All right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. The more you speak it, the more the heavenly host is there to work. And they will, and they will, and they will. That's why you pray. I got religious people say, oh, brother, when I pray, that's the end of it. I don't talk about it no more. You know, and I go, well, it's, you know, give me a break. If you haven't seen the results, keep praising God for the results. For over 2 years after I claimed healing, my arm just hung there. I kept claiming it. One day, I looked down and I didn't feel it down and his finger moved. I thought, wow, this is great. I'm going to use this. So I went. It felt good. It felt good. The next day, I had 3 fingers moving. You know, and then things were getting better, and all of a sudden, my wife screams in the middle of the night, and she turns on the light, look at her face all puffed up. My arm head went, whoom! And she got backhanded. God bless Sheila. She forgave me. And see, in the process of getting your blessings, sometimes you have to make some changes. We change sides of the bed. Okay? So, hey, it's practical. The Word of God is a practical. Living it is a practical thing. That way, if my arm decided I wouldn't do it again, there's nobody out there to hit. But it's healed. And it was healed even when it didn't look like it. And I sometimes watch people get healed and say, I don't feel no different. And everything else. And I watch in the spirit that healing shrinking, 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 shrinking until it doesn't exist anymore. We were in Portland, Maine, ministering one time. There was two ladies. One had hepatitis C and the other one had another kind. And they both were death sentences. By the way, well, maybe we'll get into that another time. But anyway, the Lord gave me the same instruction to each of them, which is unique. Usually His instruction is different for each person because we're different. But this is instruction for all of us, really. I got done praying, and I told the one, I says, tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. You are healed. And her color had changed even, hadn't it, hon? Her color was coming back to a flesh color. You know what she did? She and went down and sit in the back row and turned yellow. She's dead today. The other one, I told the same thing. She went right down, told everybody what the Lord had done. And some people say, she's confusing me. It's tough. Just listen, you know? But when she ran out of people in the church, you know where she went? Next door is a gymnasium, and she stopped the basketball game. And there's these great big tall black guys, you know, and they're... She stopped them, and they're all standing around, and they're not competing anymore. They all are listening. You know what? She's alive today. See, it's not what you see, feel, have, smell, taste, and touch. That's reality. I want everybody to look around. Just look around. Look around. Look around. Okay? The only thing that's not going to burn is God's people. Even this wonderful building is going to burn. Isn't that amazing? And to walk by the Spirit, you don't walk by what you see, because that's in the flesh. You hear me? So, if your gizzard is still bothering you, you tell your gizzard what to do. Jesus said, say to that mountain, right? Right? That happens to be your mountain right then. If you got a gizzard, we got a mountain we got to deal with, okay? But, because we're not chickens, but elbow, okay? Got a bad elbow? We pray. You say, but it still hurts. So, you're healed. Yeah. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs and end up going back in the wheelchair because they hurt a little bit the next day. Well, you know why they hurt? They use muscles they didn't use before. Amen. Persevere. Amen. There's a lot of pain in healing. If you don't believe it, ask Jesus. By His stripes, we were healed. Amen? I mean, it's a serious situation when we sell God short. But I want to read to you something that Jesus said. Because He's talking to you too, all right? Y'all. Y'all works here too, don't it? In Tennessee it works. If you're in Philadelphia, you got to say, use guys. Anybody from Philadelphia? that's what they say, don't they? Use guys. Yeah, use guys. Anyway, whose guys? Use guys. Anyway, on page 860, or Matthew 27. 58, just want to see if you're awake. But I want you to ask you something. Do you think the words Jesus spoke are still real today?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if Jesus, the last things He said before He ascended, do you think, knowing He was going to ascend and knowing that we're caught up in our senses, do you think He was going to do everything He could with the last few words He had, make an impact? Do you think so? Absolutely, okay? So think, remember that. Absolutely is a good word. Because we can put it right at the start. Absolutely. But 8:28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, absolutely, this is an absolutely, okay? He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Where?
Heaven and earth.
That's it, okay? Don't care about a place else, okay? Go ye therefore. Listen, He's transferring. He's transferring the power he was given to you and me. Now, if you don't want to receive it, oh, well, I want it, baby. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. How many?
All.
That includes those gypsies.
Amen.
I had people that told me, if you're going to work with the gypsies, Brother Carl, I won't work with you. I said, good. Goodbye. I mean, there's such a prejudice. You know, and that's in the flesh. Color and stuff, that's flesh. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded to thee. How? What things?
All.
That means they're supposed to teach the Bible, right?
Yes.
Have command and lo, I am with you. How much?
All.
How long?
All.
And where to? The end of the world. Well, the world hasn't ended. Might happen before the day's over, but you know what? He's with you all the way. And he has imparted into each and every one of you. And if you want this, I want you to raise your hands. Okay? And I don't want you to put them down until I'm done praying. Stand up, please, if you want it. But if you want the power that Jesus gave in this word, I'm going to speak it. And if you don't, that's okay. God still loves you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak these words. Father, I speak to each of these people in the name of Jesus. I speak your blessings, Heavenly Father, and your strength, and your mercy, your love and ability to forgive, your ability to speak the truth with love, even when you offend people, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you speak them with love. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing, not only for them to receive it, Heavenly Father, but to impart it. I want you to say, I will impart healing.
I will
obey the Father.
I will obey the Father.
And when I fall short,
Father,
forgive me.
When
fear enters,
help me drive it away.
Make me to be
what you are, Jesus.
Cause me to be
like you,
to do the will of the Father.
Help me, Father.
And help me, Lord Jesus.
To make myself of no reputation.
As you cause the miracles to happen,
I will give you the glory.
So you can cause more miracles to happen.
So that as we walk through this wretched world,
we can cause change.
That we can tear down devils
and strongholds.
And we can cause the blind to see.
The deaf to hear.
The dead to rise.
That we can speak and do what the will of the Father is.
Because you have placed your Spirit within us, Father.
And in the name of Jesus,
I will be more than a conqueror.
I ask that you make my faith
exceedingly abundantly above
my very imagination.
Father, help me
to take your word
and make it mine.
Make it come alive, Father.
I give you permission
to let your living word
live in my heart,
in my brain,
and in my body,
and that which I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You can sit down.
Huh? That's this. We could be doing that real quick.
And Father, heal my brother's sick humor.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
That's one I have, is my sick humor healed, but I haven't seen the manifestation yet.
That's one of the things. I want you guys to come forward. I want you to sing a song. But as you're getting ready, can they use this guitar? Okay. Whoever. Okay. I want you to know, you know, I get all jazzed up and fired up, and I scream and holler and bounce and quiver and twitch, but it still gets back to love. Okay? And we could only love according to what love we received. Jesus said, the only way to the Father is through me. Not Carl, Jesus, right? Okay. So relationship with Jesus is an ultimate. All right? And so the greater, we can't directly get our relationship with God. See, Jesus gave us our salvation, but he also has given us, as we build a relationship with him, he's taken that to the Father. He's taken us. So the closer that we get to Jesus, the closer we get to the Father. Amen. I want more. Amen. Anybody else want more?
Amen.
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 And why do we want more? So we can give more, right?
Right.
You know, we don't want to hang on to it. We want to pour it out.
Amen.
So we can get more.
Yes.
You know, you hold on to the same old milk, it gets pretty rotten after a while.
Amen.
Romania, they take that rotten milk and try to tell you, eat it, brother. It's cheese.
Amen.
If you get it, you know, anyway, but I'd rather have fresh milk, right? Sweet milk, right? And I do like cheese, but it needs to be prepared in a way that's edible. But the thing about it is, see, it's the same thing with the Word of God. You know, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, I've done something to help you make the Word of God more edible. And before this weekend's over, any of you that have a need, and this is a promise to the Father, it will be met. If you will permit it, okay? If you will permit it. And I want you to hear this, what Ron and Mary Gordon from Washington, Pennsylvania, dear friends of mine, and brothers and sisters, and they're dear friends of you too. But I want them to share this because I want you to hear these words just like if Jesus is singing it, okay?
Would you mind if I told you that God loves you? Would you mind if I told you that I love you too? Would you mind if I told you one more time that God and I love you? Yes, God and I love you. You've allowed me inside your heart. It's a wonderful place to be. But I noticed some cracks in the walls, and it's been bothering me. For it hurts to see a hurting, honey. That's not how it ought to be. So if you don't mind, we'll take the time to make it like it ought to be. So would you mind if I told you that God loves you? Would you mind if I told you that I love you too? Would you mind if I told you one more time that God and I love you? God and I love you. Now you may wonder why it is I love you so. And you may wonder why it is I even care at all. Well, it's just that I've been loved with a perfect love from above. So allow me to do the same for you, 'cause we can never be loved too much. So would you mind if I told you that God loves you? Would you mind if I told you that I love you too?
And I love you.
So would you mind?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you mind?
Please tell me.
If I told you one more time.
100 more times.
That God and I love you.
Yes, God and I love you.
Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you. I want you to do one more. Could you do with one more night with the frogs? Seriously. Because you got two choices. You'd be like the Pharaoh and say, I got one more night with the frogs. You know, I'm going to party. And you can take what I shared and you can receive the love. Or you can do one more night with the frogs. I encourage each and every one of us, let's let this be the day that a great change takes place. Okay? But this song has some humor, but it's also got a real startling message. Go ahead, Ron. Thank you.
Well, over in the books of Moses, the strangest thing I found about this man called Pharaoh, he brought plagues all over town. Well, evil filled his heart and he disobeyed the things that God had said. So the Lord sent fleas, flies, and frogs and turned the waters to a bloody red. Now Moses said to Pharaoh, won't you let my people go? And Pharaoh said to Moses, now you know that can't be so. Won't you come back in the morning and take your children with you, one and all? But today I just can't give them up. I want one more night with the frogs. One more night with the stinking frogs. One more night in sin. I had a terrible time with men last night and I just gotta do it again. It'll always be a puzzle to me, and I reckon that it's all because, well, he could have had sleep and rest and peace, but he chose one more night with the frogs. Now I hear about a lot of people like the ones down in Egypt land, who go staggering and slipping and sliding, why they're doing all they can to stand, why they're holding on to some little sin, it don't amount to anything at all. When they're gonna give it up tomorrow, they want one more night with the frogs. One more night with the stinking frogs. One more night in sin. I had a terrible time with them last night and I just gotta do it again. It'll always be a puzzle to me, and I reckon that it's all because, well, he could have had sleep and rest and peace, but he chose one more night with the frogs, those stinking frogs.
Thank you. Should I bless the food? Yeah. Well, first of all, we got to decide we want to get rid of them, the frogs. And then instead of leaving them in wheelchairs, we'll get rid of them, all right? But Father, we love you. And I just impart the love of God into each of us, that we can feed on the love of God. And as we fellowship around food, that the conversation be about you, Father, and about you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for blessing those that work so hard to prepare this food, that they get more than all of us put together in blessings, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that the food gives us strength and nourishment. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen means, let's eat.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.